What is up, After Buzzers? Welcome to the Sweet Bitter After Show. Today we're going to be talking about Season 2, Episodes 1 and 2, Pork Special, and Equifax and Experian. We're taking field trips to the farm, to the spa, and to the bank. Stay tuned, you don't want to miss it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
Welcome. Like I said, this is the Sweet Bitter After Show. Today, we're going to be talking about the Season 2 premiere. It's been a while. It's been like a year since we saw the last episode.
I know.
I'm so excited. I'm your host, Taylor Gaze, and I'm joined by two amazing wine-loving panelists today.
Yes.
To my left, we have Louisa.
Yes, yes. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be here.
And then to her left, we have Chelsea.
Hi, everyone. I'm excited as well. And gosh, what a great premiere.
Such a great show.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Thank you for letting me know about this show last year.
Good.
She let me know last year, and I just can't get over it.
It's so fun. It has such a cool indie vibe.
Yeah.
Like I said, we have so much to talk about. We have two episodes today to talk about. We also have a really cool special segment we're calling Sweet or Bitter, where we give you guys some wine facts, because I am like a Tess. I'm not a Simone. I don't know all my wine yet, so we're going to keep going week after week.
Yeah, we're all going to learn together.
We'll learn more about that. And then we have some awesome news and predictions as well.
Yes!
But before we dive right in to our plot points, I want to know, what were your guys' overall thoughts? Like, how are you feeling about the season so far?
Still so fishy. I can't figure out people. I can't figure out Simone. I can't figure out Jake. I feel like they act as if they're Tess's family.
Yeah.
But they do something so weird that kind of makes me change my mind. Overall, I love how she's become more confident. So it's going in the right direction. Totally.
Definitely. Yeah, I think we're actually diving into each character, which is what I really like a lot. Because before in season one, it was just kind of like a generic overview of it. But I think with this season two, how they're setting up is each character is kind of getting their own little plot, and we're kind of digging into who they are. So I think, you know, that's one thing that is going to definitely go on to season two. But yeah, I agree with you. Definitely really fishy. I can't decide who is who,
mm-hmm.
who's being like the nice person, who's being really sincere. So I think that's going to unravel soon.
Definitely. I loved season one of the show so much. I told everyone about it, but I feel like season two has already, like, it's really found its footing already, and the pacing feels so good. Like, we're getting so much information so fast, and so I'm really, really pumped for the rest of it. I'm so excited to break down these two episodes.
Yeah.
Let's actually start from the beginning, because I feel like the opening scene was such an interesting choice to open on, and it felt like you just knew that this was, like, we're not where we were in season one anymore.
No.
Just by the opening image.
Yeah.
Howard has decided to take everyone to a little field trip to the farm at 7 a.m.
Gosh.
Were you guys surprised that we were not in the city, Louisa?
I mean, for one second, I thought they were driving home to Tess's house or something. Mm. I'm like, maybe they want to kind of do a exploration with a new waiter, or like, I just want to see where you live, kind of like that. But no, I was very surprised. It's not your regular zoo trip that we take in second grade.
No.
I just feel like there was a harsh point to reality of the restaurant service, and it just shows how beyond serious Howard takes this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the pig and the guts flowing out and Tess standing there, I was really caught off guard.
Yeah, Chelsea, what did you think about Tess being the last one standing there? Because I think that definitely means something. How did you interpret that?
Well, when I first saw the pig scene, and she just looked at it, and she's like, oh my gosh. I think because throughout the whole entire episode, she keeps comparing herself to the pig, and that she's the one that has, like, the trust issues and everything.
Wow.
So that's kind of, I thought it was like a metaphor, like, with this is how Tess is feeling. And she really took it to heart, because even when they have the pig and it's, like, skinned in the kitchen table, she's even just looking at it like, oh my gosh. And then she goes to the customer, oh, you didn't like the pork? Oh, I just didn't want to finish it. Like, she's still so hung up on that pig. Like, she has a hard time letting go of that scene. I think in a way she's comparing it to herself and how she fits in with this dynamic with this group.
Mm-hmm. I think you're definitely right. And speaking of the dynamic, that is something that I love so much about this show. Just the dialogue feels so natural. I don't know if you guys have worked in a restaurant. I did as a hostess for a while. And the way people talk to each other in the show, I'm like, this feels so authentic. Like, I don't know. Is that, like, something that draws you guys to the show too? Just the dialogue?
Absolutely. Everything's so raw. It just flows. And I was doing some research on the show. The showrunner of the show used to work at a Times Square restaurant, I believe. So to prepare for the show, he brought over the real servers to train these actors.
No way.
That's why we have such an authentic feel. Because they are trained by, you know, Times Square restaurant people, which is, like, the most busiest place ever.
The main event, the main cuisine, if
that's
you will.
Why it's so authentic. I love it. It kind of reminds me of Chef's Table, but in a more, you know, natural way. So, I love it. It's so good.
Yeah, and I agree with you, what you guys said earlier during your overall thoughts about how we are focusing on, you know, specific people outside of just Tess now, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. One of those people that we see a lot is actually Sasha. And if you remember from season one, he had the thing where he, quote-unquote, fell off the roof. Mm-hmm. And Tess obviously thinks he jumped or was something more, and kind of as, you know, she keeps talking to him, he's obviously depressed and in a very bad space. Were you guys excited to see him back? Did you think it was too soon for him to be back?
No. I love that he's back. He's not mentally there, unfortunately. There's a lot of issues there. His visa expired, he just said. He missed his home, but he knows he can make so much money here with the American dream. He's not letting Tess in, though. He's not really unfolding the true self of what he is. I'm excited that he's back, but he messes around too much. They pop too many pills. So many pills. I mean, that's what I thought.
I think in season one, he kind of reminded me of, like, that fun character that just wants to have a good time. In season two, that's one of the characters where we're definitely seeing a deeper side of him. And, you know, he breaks down to Tess saying, yeah, my visa expired. I don't think I can be here. And I think everyone in the kitchen kind of puts him as the bad guy almost sometimes. But I think he really is sincere. He's just going through some hard times. And I think his story is going to uncover in the next couple of episodes. And we're going to see the raw point of Sasha. Because season one, I was just thinking, okay, this is just the party guy that likes to drink a lot and have fun. But definitely in this two episodes, I saw more of a raw, authentic point of view with him.
I totally agree, because I don't know that I expected them to take it in this direction necessarily. I think they set it up really well for them too, but I kind of was like, oh yeah, like the thing happened. But I think in TV, like, depression is brushed over a lot, and it's just kind of, you know, takes it as, you know, like a back seat to a lot of the other storylines. And so I'm really interested to see how they're going to keep digging into that and doing it in a really, I feel like, authentic way so far. So,
and Tess has really fallen for him as a friend, taking care of him and his foot and everything. So I want to see what's going to come out of that.
It's a good friendship. He has her back out of all the people. I think he's the one that's going to be there for her. She cares, especially when she's taking care of the foot and just like, what's wrong with you? Have you not been taking care of yourself?
And his masturbation remarks are just, I'm sorry. Pancakes,
so
and, pancakes and masturbation. Oh, that's so Sasha. Disgusting. I can't. And then Will saying, I love all my socks. Like, how can you masturbate inside
oh,
socks?
Oh, Will. Yeah. We'll get to him a little more. Yeah, there's definitely a genuine love between them. And there's a genuine love between all of us on the panel and for you guys, audience.
Yes. The chat's popping.
Yes, you guys. Thank you guys so much for joining us in the chat. If you're watching us on YouTube, like I said, join in the chat, definitely. I mean, they're over there. They're going to be reading your comments if you, you know, have some great observation to share with us. Definitely hit that thumbs up button on this video. Hit the subscribe button so you can get updated on all the shows that we cover here. And if you're watching on iTunes, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a comment there, too. I always say it's like my morning newspaper. I love going on and seeing what you guys thought of these shows. Awesome. But keep on doing that. Tell your friends, because we love doing this and we love talking to you guys about
absolutely
it.
And always a shout out to Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro for creating this and letting us have this amazing platform.
Absolutely. Yes, they are such great bosses.
Just amazing. We love them.
We don't know that Howard is such a great boss.
Oh, my God.
Though,
Howard's so fishy.
He's a little bit sketchy. Let's talk a little bit about how Tess is kind of figuring that he's sketchy too. Mm-hmm. I think that we got hints of that in the last season, but I think for the most part she really looked up to him and kind of thought he could do no wrong in a way. And I love that we're seeing her kind of question everything now. There's a new hostess obviously coming into the picture. I think Tess is nervous for her for good reason. And we thought, at least I thought, that Howard and Becky from last season were through. We find out that's not the case. Louisa, were you surprised about that?
Becky with the long hair. I mean, or short hair in this case.
With the good hair.
You know, I wasn't surprised. I feel like that's why she quit. She got this new job to get, you know, to be far from him. But I feel like that was also his plan, too, especially with the new rule he just placed that coworkers can't really be into each other and all of that. I'm not really surprised. I think there's genuine feelings for her. I think he lost his wife, and I think it's probably more than just sex. I think he wants more from her. So I wasn't that surprised.
Do you think it's genuine?
I don't know. I just don't think he's a genuine person. So it's hard to say, okay, is his feelings like that? I think we're going to have to see a little bit more how it develops later on the season. I could definitely tell he does care for her. That's why it kind of explains it, because I did not get why she went to the restaurant a couple episodes back last season and she just went off and she was just so upset, and it just kind of dropped it a little bit. So now it makes sense how they picked up the ball a little bit and they're actually sleeping together. But I don't know. I have a feeling something's going to happen with the new host and him, because he got so jealous as soon as he found out that Jake and Roslyn were together. So I think there's going to be kind of a plot there. So I don't know. We'll see.
Moslin, right? I think, was it Moslin?
Roslyn, yeah.
Moslin.
I think it's Roslyn.
Oh, really?
R.
Oh, yeah, there was an M.
Roslyn. I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
There's just something so cold about him. It's just like, because even to go back to the pig, when Tess was talking about, like, do you think that he knew, you know, the pig knew?
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't think
that was...
the pigs have any knowledge. And it's like, oh, like, he's so, there's just something so sinister about him, even though he's so calm and collected. Maybe that's what makes him sinister feeling, though.
No yeah. emotions. I think that's when Tess is really starting to question Howard, too, when she's going back, do you think that pig knew? Do you think, you know, so, yeah, I think just the way he comes across on screen, it's like nothing doesn't surprise him. He has no emotions, doesn't act anything. So I think until he starts showing some emotion, then that'll be like, yeah, now he's genuine.
His character is still somewhat similar than the one in House of Cards. He used to play Tom Yates.
You know,
his name is Paul Sparks. That's right. I love him as an actor. So I can really see him in the same light as I kind of did as Tom Yates. Fishy, you can't read him. Same tone of voice, just lingering in and out. Like, I don't know. I just, maybe because I like him so much as an actor, it's hard for me to think otherwise. But he's very fishy.
Well, that's fair, though, because there's so many fishy characters in this. And, like, speaking of them, we have Jake, who, episode, I mean,
he was so mean.
You don't do that. Like, we think that, I mean, I thought that he was maybe changing, trying to get on the straight and narrow for a second, because he went to the field trip without too much complaints. You know, everyone had complaints, but his was no worse than anyone else's, I would say. And then he's, like, getting his own ice, like, kind of trying to get into Howard's good graces, because obviously Howard kind of wants to push him out, which we saw in the finale last time. But, yeah, Tess is like, why do you trust Simone? Like, I heard you guys talking in the wine cellar. She doesn't treat you right. Like, I don't understand. You kissed me. And she's just, like, having all of these very confused feelings. And he shuts her down fast and very hard. She's like, you're not my type. You're just a little girl. Chelsea, what was your reaction to that?
It was heartbreaking, because I've been a fan of Jake and Tess for season one. I was rooting for them. I mean, I was so disappointed in last season, you know, when she, you know, Tess is all getting ready and she's thinking that she's going to have an amazing date with him, and then he's not there. He's out of town. So he's a heartbreaker, and I think she's going to get very hurt, unfortunately. She keeps going down that path, but he does care for her, because even when she walked away, you're thinking, okay, is this Simone controlling him? Is this all coming out of what Simone wants to do? So, I don't know, is Simone, like, being protective of Tess because she knows how Jake is? Because there's still some type of plot going on between them, you know, that I think Simone knows a little bit more about Jake, and I think his character needs to get unrevealed a little bit more. Maybe, Simone's actually, like, the good character and really wants to protect her. Or, you know, Jake does have, you know, true, raw feelings for her, for Tess, and I just... Well, see, I don't know, but that was just so heartbreaking. I'm rooting for them, and I think something's going to happen soon later down, hopefully in the next episode or so.
To add on to that, Simone, I think, knows a bunch of secrets about Jake, and that's why Jake has to forcefully just push Tess away. We all know Jake is sexually attracted to Tess and wants more. First episode of season one, we already know when she just walked in. The fact that he had to do that, and he felt so bad afterwards. We saw his face. You know, he wants her more than anything. And then Rosalind was just a one-night thing. You couldn't tell. Or two-night.
She's gone. Rosalind just throwing her under already.
Just saying.
She's gone.
But there's something between them. And then, I mean, not to go too forward, but, you know, they did talk about mothers towards the end of episode 2, which we'll talk about how, you know, Simone's mother hasn't visited her, and then Jake's mother went swimming and never came back. So there's just this weird, sickening bond there that we don't know yet. So
I think that's a good assumption for sure.
I'm so excited.
And, you know, the Jake and Simone thing, like, they're inseparable, but in a really weird codependent way.
Yeah.
But we do get, I love Tessa's relationship with Simone, and we'll talk more about, you know, some of the primary scenes in episode two, but we have Tess sort of pushing her away, just, like, the slightest bit, because mm-hmm. Will had told her, hey, like, she didn't even want you here. She didn't stand up for you when you didn't pass your trails, like, and we see Tess sort of react to that, but I think she's just so, like, lured in by, it's a magnet to her. Like,
mm-hmm.
Simone is, like, kind of everything she wants to be, I think, and so when she does give her that attention, she can't really say no to it. They go to the spa, the sauna, together.
Mm-hmm.
Louisa, what did you think of those scenes?
You know, she's so curious as to what people do in New York, but she's also wanting a bond with the woman. Remember, she didn't really grow up with the mother. Mm-hmm. So Simone is kind of the mother she never had, mm-hmm. the big sister. So she just follows, you know, Simone around wherever she goes. I love how she's looking around the women and how the women are naked. And then towards the end, she takes off the towel and she kind of breathes to say, I'm finally confident. I'm getting there. I'm secure as a woman. You know, I might have smaller breasts than the women here, but I'm so much more secure. I think she's falling for a great friendship with Simone. You know, she mm-hmm. wants, she's hungry for that woman-to-woman bond.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I just hope that Simone doesn't.
I have a hard time reading her. Yeah, because one moment I'm all team Simone, and the next minute I'm like, oh, get her. I don't like her. So, but they've definitely, these two episodes, raw emotion and so pure between Simone and Tess. It's an up and down roller coaster.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. Let's move on to episode two. There's obviously many more
such fantastic shows. Fantastic.
But let's start off by talking about Sasha, because he had another pretty prevalent storyline in this episode, and it has to do with Santos, who we saw like brief seconds in season one, but it's cool that we got to see his storyline more as well. So Santos gets these new shoes. He's so excited about them. And Sasha is just there to kind of pick a fight and make some really, really racist, nasty comments. Mm. Do you guys think, not excusable, but, like, how did you react to that? Do you think it's just, you know, the drugs he's taking for his injury? Or do you think that he's, like, is it unforgivable?
I think that kind of underlines with his character we're going to see more of. It's a little out of character for Sasha, because when Tess was new, he was really, I think, supportive. And he kind of helped her, you know, welcome her to the team. So that doesn't really seem like his type of character. That's kind of the first clue, like, okay, something's going on with him. And sure enough, his visa did expire. But I think there's more to that character that we have to see. So yeah, it's inexcusable for what he did. I mean, that's just plain out rude. But it doesn't fit his character.
I think he's jealous. There's because maybe that guy's visa is in the works and his living situation is probably a bit better. He has no risk of getting kicked out of the U.S., but his discriminating and doing just his awful, calling him an immigrant, like, from Mexico when he's not even Mexican. And then just giving him hate for those shoes. People mm-hmm. work very hard for those shoes. You have to stand in line. I think it was Jordan's, right? I don't know what it was. But whatever it was, the guy put his heart and soul to get that money to buy the shoes, and you're just laughing at him. But he's rude, and I think it's the drugs. He's like Oxy mixed with other things. I just don't like him as a character right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's very bitter.
Yeah, I agree. Something that you said just made me think maybe it is kind of loneliness, though, because he doesn't fit in with Santos and his friends, because we see Santos that he does have a support system, you know, within his own sort of community, but he, like, Sasha doesn't really fit in with Tess and Ari and, like, that group mm-hmm. either. Like, they like him because he's kind of the class clown, but I wouldn't say that he feels like he's fully accepted, and he has a story that I don't think that a lot of them can relate to. So maybe it is like a thing of, like, he doesn't know where he belongs too.
I'm surprised he's not finding someone to just marry.
Well, he tried to last season, remember? With
the woman left him. That's right.
Oh, she punched Tess in the face.
Did we figure out, is he a straight or his gay?
No, I think he's gay.
So he's gay. Okay.
I kind of thought, okay, this is weird, but I kind of thought maybe there was some tension, sexual tension.
With Tess.
Well, maybe with Tess, but with
the immigrant and the Mexican one. Yes. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to see.
Kind of thinking maybe Ooh. That could be kind of a spicy, spicy plot right there.
Hey,
but he does
whatever
have,
works.
Yeah, I don't know.
But whatever floats your boat.
He does have insecurities, Sasha.
Yeah, for sure. But I, like I said, I love how we highlighted both. Like, because, I mean, Sasha had a good, you know, storyline in season one, but it's so fun to see all of them develop and get more and more time. We also have more and more about Howard a little bit in this episode.
Man.
Tess wants to use his computer, and he makes a great line. Louisa, what was your favorite line
he
from
there?
He
said something like, are we negotiating this? Or like...
And, like, how his chair was, like, the right
height. Oh, my God. When he allows her to go in the office, he says something like, be careful because the seat has a specific height and a specific lean.
Are you kidding
So don't change the height and the lean of the chair. I mean, it's just perfect.
He wants to be in control of everything. He wants to know everything. And we see that. We kind of mentioned earlier. But he has the new rules about how everyone has to disclose whoever they're having a relationship with, if it's a coworker,
I love it.
Which it's always a coworker.
I love
in this
it.
Show.
And the Jake's like, you want to know who I'm effing? He's like, I don't care. Just, you know.
Yeah, he challenges Howard. Jake isn't afraid of Howard. That's why I like Jake. Yeah, I think he's the only one that will stand up to him and not like bow down to him. And that is what frustrates Howard.
I think that Simone and him are having such a rivalry right now, though.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I don't think Simone will be disrespectful like Jake necessarily because she's more low-key about it. Mm-hmm. And I think she's really sort of methodical and will think about it. But you can just tell there is a rivalry forming there.
Just to add, the way Jake is so free with Howard, I think it's because Simone protects him so much. He can't let go of Jake. He can't fire Jake. There's something there between three of them. Either Simone knows some stuff or Simone's hooking up with Howard. I don't know, but there's no way Howard can fire Jake even if he wanted to. There's something there.
They all, I think, are blackmailing each other in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, on somewhat of a more pure note, but also very devastating, we also have Tessa's main storyline in this episode, and it starts out when she and Ari go shopping, which I think is so sweet. I love that she's making more friends at the restaurant. That's not necessarily Jake and Simone because they just got too much going on. Like, we need, like, a simpler friendship. And maybe we can have that with Ari. I thought it was really sweet how Tess finds this very expensive leather jacket. Ari's like, you know, you can pay me back. I have a credit card. I thought that was really, really cute. Unfortunately, Tess is like, listen, I want to get my own credit card. But she can't. They go to the bank and she finds out that her credit is just, like, not great at all. What did you guys think? Like, did you expect it to turn out the way it turned out?
You know, it was such a great catalyst for her to go to the bank and figure out her situation. You know, if she had agreed to Ari and used her credit card, then she would never know and it would be covered up. It just is a great way to enter her mom as a character so we can get to know her past a bit. We don't know anything about her besides she came from a small town and has a dad that she doesn't like. So this is a great way. I'm surprised. It's very hurtful to ruin your daughter's credit like that. She's not even 21. She was in a big city, and credit's so important. And I also love how the restaurant really wants to help her. She has a team of people who are saying, hey, let's do this, let's do that, or so we think. But I was very surprised, but it's a great way to introduce the mom.
I second that. I loved, I think, okay, because even when Tess is on the floor and Simone's talking to her, she's like, I don't want anything to do with my mom at all. That is definitely some depth there that they're going to bring into it. And I think Tess's mom might have done this on purpose so that way her daughter can find her and track her down.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, because I don't think Tess would not have anything else to do with her mom if she can't help it. So now it forces her to put her in that position where she has to face her mom. And I think some other things are going to come about it.
That's interesting. I would love to see her introduced.
What do you guys think the mom did? Like, we don't know.
I hope we find out, though. It seems like it's nice because we do see through the people at the restaurant, like we were saying, like, this is obviously very much, like, a pseudo-family for her. Like, we have Will folding napkins next to her, like, telling him.
Because Will loves her. Will loves, Will's hooked. Okay.
It's very obvious.
Wants more of that.
He got those hard eyes for her.
So cute. But how funny was Will when he tried to comfort her and say, well, my mom, you know, makes me slow dance with her when she's not having a good day. Like, okay, that's weird.
Sweet,
I know. I love it. That's so cute. He's so cute.
So cute.
And besides Will, we have Simone. Like, you kind of mentioned earlier, Chelsea, I loved that scene of her finally sort of, like, allowing herself to break down in front of Simone. And Simone just, like, really took the reins and gave her such a nice pep talk. Like, it was like, you are stronger than she is. Like, you're the one who left her and you can do this independently, and it's not weak to just, you know, open up and ask for help sometimes. Do you think that she'll continue to kind of keep opening up, or do you think her guard's going to go back up?
In that moment, see, that's why I love Simone. Like, I'm a team Simone when she gives her that pep talk. I think Simone's character, and because Tess has, you know, this attraction to her, that she's the only one, I think, that will allow her to let her guard down, even if she doesn't want to. Because I don't think she tended to let her guard down. She's been so on top of it lately with Simone. But in that moment, she just kind of said, I can't do this anymore. So I think she's going to try to keep her guard up, but Simone gets to her in a certain way where she does have her guard down, even if she doesn't want to be down.
Simone has seen so much life and hardship, and, you know, she's cut her teeth in every situation. She's probably mid-30s, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. I love her character. I told you, the writing for her role is incredible. I use her words as captions on Instagram. I told her. Like, I freeze it. I pause it. I write it down. Because everything she says is so true. Like, one time when she said, I can't do anything without investing in it. Mm-hmm. Like, everything she says is amazing. Again, Tess craves it, whether it's going to be sneaky or not. I've had a friend like that, too. I know she was sneaky, but damn, did she give good advice.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Manipulative, weird, psycho, but great advice.
Yeah, she's an interesting
one. Good.
She's one to watch,
she's
for sure.
She's a great character.
I did love at the end of this episode, we do have the whole entire restaurant sort of rallying behind Tess. And I love how we were all faked out. We're like, oh my god, they're going to give her the leather jacket.
Yeah.
They end up giving her this hideous lost and found jacket. Which, if we think about it, that is much more of this restaurant style, I think. They're a bunch of pranksters.
It's
and
so cute.
Just, they're like, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Like, you will get this jacket on your own eventually, but, you know, we're gonna give you a little gag gift and try to, like, lift your spirits.
Even the bartender, he seems a bit out of it, but he's still very well into the whole crowd, saying, come on, I open your gift, I gotta go home soon. There's still some love there.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I love it.
And I think, in a way, it's kind of good they gave her the gag gift, because this storyline, this plot, is you have to work hard to get what you want. Even if you feel like you're in the worst positions ever, you know, you can still bounce back from that. Because if they gave her the leather jacket, it's kind of a message in life, like, oh, even though things get bad, people just buy stuff for you. And I don't think that was the message and the underline of what they wanted the show to be.
That's awesome. A That's a great point, Chelsea. Yeah. Over rocker.
I love it. Well, that's about it for breaking down the actual episode, but don't go anywhere, because we have some awesome special segments.
We do.
We have one from Louisa called Sweet or Bitter, and this is where we're going to, you know, give us some wine knowledge.
So, we all know this show is heavy on wines, you know, getting educated on wines, drinking wines, and even for us, it's going to be very educational. So, the segment's called Sweet or Bitter, and for tonight's episode, they mentioned a brand name called Shannon. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up, and it was in the beginning scene. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to name the wine for you, too. And I want you guys to tell me if you guys think it's sweet or bitter. Now, to my defense, I know wine isn't that bitter. but you know how some wines are sweet, some are dry, or all of that? Yeah. It suits so well because of the title of the show.
I love it.
Yeah, don't make fun of me.
I love it.
Okay, so let's see. Clay Shannon Cabernet, 2016. Now,
I would say bitter/dry, just because, I don't know, that's what it sounds like. I mean, clay, it just, I know nothing. I'm going on literally the smallest
details. That's why
we're
learning.
Cabernets, usually, I think Cabernets are a little bit more of the drier. I always had red ones, so I'm going to say bitter.
Bitter. Okay, cool. So this is the answer. So bright fruit, spice, and texture come from the high elevations of Lake County, and dark fruits, old world characters, and dried herbs come from the low elevations of Napa County. So the marriage of the two create tobacco, cherry, and cherry aromas. On the palate, we get dried fruits, old world spice, integrated oaks, notes of cedar, and a lingering finish.
I love it.
Yeah,
so
nice.
Now
so
I want wine, you guys. I'm craving
wine
it.
Yeah, we gotta go wine tasting.
I agree.
Yeah, so there you have it.
Thank you so much.
Of course. I hope you guys enjoyed.
And we also have, since this is our first episode back in a hot second, it's, you know, kicking off season two, we're gonna do a top three for you guys. And our top three today is top three shadiest characters. Mm. Chelsea, start us off at number three. We all discussed and came to an agreement here.
Top three, well, the number three is Jake. super sketchy. There's a story going on between him. Don't know what's going on with him and new host, and then how he just tears down Tess. But then what's happening between him and Simone? There's some tension going on there. And he's not, like we discussed earlier, not afraid to take Howard down. But I don't know. But the way he takes Tess down too with it, because he cares for her. Mm-hmm. That's the part that gets a little shady.
I love it. I totally agree with you there. Louisa, who's our number two today?
Simone. Simone is so damn shady. We can't figure her out. She's nice, and then she's really mean sometimes. She has, like, brutal words. She's kind of hyping up this friendship that she wants to have with Tess, but then she pulls the plug. She didn't back her up when Howard was deciding to keep her or not. It's just weird, and she's in the way of Jake and Tess even having something real, so for sure, it's Simone.
And number one, I'm going to take it. I think we're all thinking it. Howard is acting sketchy, slimy, every, you know, adjective. Yes, exactly.
Perfect.
That he could be acting. This whole thing with Becky creeps me out.
Yeah.
This whole interviewing only pretty waiters creeps me out. The talk in the restaurant. I don't know. There's something off about him, and I'm worried to see where it goes. Yes. So that's our top three today.
Yeah.
We also have some news for you guys. Yes. We went to Stay Informed.
All right. So our news and gossip for this week. Stu Zitterman, the creator of Sweet Bitter, talked about season two and where he wants to take it. He stated, when we come into season two, we were excited because it felt like we could start making the series, and the series is just not about Tess. We cast all these amazing actors, and we want to start telling their stories. You will see in season two, virtually every episode gets into characters and guests showing up.
I love it. Thank you so much. That's such a good teaser.
Man.
Yes, I'm excited
for
it.
That's awesome. So excited.
Thank you. We're running a little low on time, but I do want to get to some quick predictions.
Your After Buzz TV prediction.
I love our sound effect. Let's all do one sentence predictions. Okay. Chelsea, you want to start here?
Yeah, I was going to say Tess and her mom coming face to face.
I love it. Tess and Jake are going to hook up.
I think I agree with that too. I'm going to say that maybe Howard gets into some like legal trouble.
Mm.
Me Too movement's going on. I think that he's definitely a suspect for that from what we've seen.
But this was 2006.
That's true.
Yeah. So all the nasty good little catch. People were still doing their things.
That's a good catch. I guess we'll see
but
though.
But still.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us. This was such a fun premiere. We'll see you back next week for episode three. Until then, where can everyone find you and continue the conversation? Chelsea?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Chelsea Overocker and Twitter at Chels Overocker.
Follow me on Instagram at Louisa Sharamatian and on Twitter at Lou Sharamatian.
Awesome. You guys can find me on Twitter at Alphabet_Anne and on Instagram at Taylor_Gates_. And we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.